We thank the Lord today for his great grace and mercies that he's bestowed upon us. If you have your Bibles with you today, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him, through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I want to talk to you this day about the church victorious. And I believe that's the truth that's set forth in the Scripture, that the church is a victorious church, the true church of God. Now, I know things are bad in our world today, and there's many out there who might not think that the church is victorious in this world. In fact, I heard a minister say not long ago that the church is losing down here. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul tells Timothy, the church is the pillar and ground of truth. That is, the church is the supporter or seat of truth. Think about it for a moment. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, God is truth. He's a God of truth. In John 14, 6, Christ is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In John 16, the Holy Spirit is truth. He will guide you into all truth. So we have here the Godhead, all three of them mentioned as being truth. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, if you would, and we'll look at a few verses right here. In Colossians 3, beginning in verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we said here that the Godhead is truth, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And here Paul says that ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we're in God. We're in the Godhead. We're in the Father. We're in the Son. We're in the Holy Spirit. The church is. And so the church is truth. The church is truth. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ says this about the church. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, my church, his church. And that is so. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. He says this in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Yes, there is a lot of tribulation, and there is a lot that we go through as the church of God. But the church of God is a church of truth because we're in the Godhead. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's a song that we sing that I think would mean a lot to us this morning. But listen to this. I'll just give you two of the verses. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with a vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Though we go through much tribulation, we wait for that day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for his own. He alone has met the law's demands. And he alone is our Redeemer. Except the Lord, the psalmist says in Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So who's going to fall? I mean, some say the church. The church is losing down here. I don't think so. Some church is losing. And which church is that? I believe it's the harlot church, or the church of organized religion. And I think it is in Genesis chapter 11. I thought about this today. You remember how that in the Tower of Babel was being built? If you'll turn over there just for a moment, I want you to see this. In Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, the whole earth was of one language, of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name. Let us be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth, the whole earth. That's the harlot church, the church of organized religion, building their own edifices by their own hands. Said, go, let us build. Let us. And what did the Lord do? He said, let us go down. He said, let us go down and confound the languages. And they scattered abroad, and that building tower was done. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 27, the house of organized religion will fail because it is built upon sinking sand. Read these verses in Matthew 7, 21 through 27. The church is founded upon the rock, and the rock is the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will stand on Christ the solid rock. I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built. Where is your hope? Where is our hope this day? Is it in the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it in organized religion? See, organized religion is falling down in the end. It'll fall completely. But God's true church that's built upon Him, the solid foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, it will never fail. The harlot church is built on self-righteousness, the do's and don'ts of religion. Christ's church is not. It's built upon the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ found in Romans 5:21. And He hath made Him, God the Father made Christ the Son to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. You'll see here the true church in Philippians 3. Philippians 3 and verse 9. And be found in Him, Paul says, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see what happens to organized religion in Romans chapter 10. Look at here, Romans 10, verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. It's the righteousness of Christ, not our own. The harlot church, organized religion, is going to face sudden, swift destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 through 5, sudden destruction. Revelation 18, 17 through 19, in 1 hour she will be made desolate. Read these verses and you'll see what we're talking about. In Ephesians 2, if you'll go back to our text here in Ephesians chapter 2, look down at verse number 18. For through Him, through Christ, it says, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. In verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Chief cornerstone. Do you notice anything about this building? Jesus Christ is the head. We are the body. Says in Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. In Isaiah 28, 16, Christ is said to be, listen to this, He's said to be a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. There's none other. The religion of our world today, the religious church, the harlot church, organized religion, is not a foundation stone. It's been tried and found wanting. It's not a precious cornerstone. It's not a sure foundation. It's going to fall, dear folks. If you go downtown Atlanta, Georgia, I worked there for many years in construction. You see these high-rise buildings, these tall buildings, how they're standing, not falling, but they're erect, they're standing up. Why? How has this happened? How come they're so perfectly plumb as you look at them and not falling down when a tornado or something comes? I tell you why. If you go down in there and you look and they're, before they start the building, they've got a big place dug out and they're down in there with pile drivers piling down into the ground deep into the earth to get a solid foundation for that building. And when they start coming up with that building, it'll go up and it's on a solid foundation. And that's where you and I must be. We must be on Christ, the solid rock, a sound foundation, or we will fall as the harlot church certainly will. Christ is the only foundation of this building, the church. Christ's building is growing up. In Acts 2:47, you think about this. On the day of Pentecost, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There's people around the world today, right now, probably fleeing to the kingdom of God. We don't know how many, but God added to the church daily such as should be saved. And he's adding to him his church today, the same as he always has, daily. He's adding to the church. This building is made up of an innumerable number of stones. In verse 21, it says of Ephesians 2, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. Revelation 5 and Revelation 7, I believe it says, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, you'll find in this church an innumerable number of people, 10,000 times, 10,000 times, thousands and thousands, an innumerable number of people. These stones are laid on top of one another. God is adding to his church daily such as should be saved. And these stones, Peter says in 1 Peter 2, 5 and 6, these stones are lively stones. That is, living stones. We're not dead. We're not dead. We're living stones because Christ is alive. He's on the throne, ruling and reigning. So the church of God is our living stones, a spiritual house. A spiritual house. And holy priesthood. When we offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And in Romans, not Romans, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says each stone has its place in this building. What is your place? What is my place? The Lord himself has placed us in that building as he builds it up one day. He's coming for us, dear folks. Now, how does one become a stone in this building? Well, it's according to what the Word of God says, not what religion says. Religion says be good, be moral, come down the aisle and, you know, make a profession of faith, be baptized and all this, and do good works. Well, that's good. That's good, all right, that's good, but that's not good enough. That won't get you into the kingdom of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, what? You must be born again. So it takes a birth, a new birth, by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. He's the only one to bring a sinner out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you read in the first few verses of chapter 2, of Ephesians, you see this, we were dead in trespasses and sins. He has raised us up together. He said, one time you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But now, he said, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. See, grace saves us, and grace alone. That faith that we have is given to us by God. It's not a worked up faith that we get within ourselves. He's raised us up together to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He says, you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it's by the regenerating power and indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we enter into this building, born into it. This building cannot fail. It's truly built on the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we trusting in today? Are we trusting in our good works? Are we trusting in Christ, who is our hope? He is the only one, the only hope that we have. He's the solid foundation that the church is built upon. We have the prophets in the Old Testament, the apostles in the New, and then now we have the pastors, evangelists, and teachers that God has given us, that Christ has given us. When he was raised from the dead, he's sitting on his throne, ruling and reigning. So our hope must be built on Jesus Christ and his righteousness, not our own. Now, I close with these words from one of the Puritan writers, Thomas Watson. Lay hold of God's strength. God is called the strength of Israel. It is in his strength that we stand, more than our own. The child is safest in the nurse's hands. It is not our holding God, but his holding us that preserves us. A little boat tied fast to a rock is safe, and so are we when we are tied to the rock of ages. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Bless his holy name. Amen. Brother Bobby's going to come and lead in a song. And we thank you, Brother Bobby.
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you. I want to say something before I do the song. Just a witness to me what this brother said, Brother Gene said. And Brother Tommy just brought out this Ephesians 4 part of it. And Paul said he was a prisoner of the Lord, not the Roman government, by the way. I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Notice that word, love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace, one body, one Spirit, as you are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one in God and Father of us. How about that? Father of us all, above all, through all, and in you all. And Lord, just. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Brother Tommy just mentioned that. Gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, that is, but first also he descended in the lower parts of the earth. But had to come down into this sinful world, and he obeyed the Father completely. He loved the Father, he loves you, brother, and he's given you all things. To perfect, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith, into the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, into the measure and stature and the fullness of Christ. Now, all those false teachings out here, you are victorious to overcome them, brethren. Absolutely, 100%. Why? Listen, that we henceforth be no more children carried about with all winds of doctrine, by the sly of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in what? Love may grow up into him in all things, even the head, Christ. Thank you. I'm going to do trust and obey, brother.